I'd never really thought about the term of family discipleship, and he wanted us to create curriculum and give it to families and have them do it in the home. So as I'm writing curriculum, this is like the first time that I've even seen this happen, but I'm asking people to do it. And they did, and it was awesome. By the end of it, every single family that I talked to was saying, man, this has changed a lot of how we do things as a family now. We're actually praying together. We're actually spending time in the Word together. And so that started it. That started kind of like, okay, I need to do this in my own family and in ministry.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got a
pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
Our nation's capital has just been...
To turn a nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
I'm Jake McCandless. This is Stand Firm Parents. And you need to underline, put in bold, the word parents there. I think typically we probably highlight the stand firm part, but today we're talking about us parents. We're talking about the important role that we play in the discipleship and the following of Jesus of our children. Because when it comes to following Jesus and following him for the long haul, our role as parents are important. And I'm excited to have a conversation with a guest here in the studio. Yes, in LifeWord Studios, in person today. A special guest to have this conversation about the important role us parents play. Now, we've talked about this a bit when we talked about with Josh Denhart about the 20 to 40% of students who are raised in church, who stay in church and stay in the faith. We talked about the important role that parents have. But yet we're 25 episodes deep into this podcast aimed towards parents, and I've never talked about why we're aiming towards parents, why we're not just assuming going to church is enough, why I'm not aiming at student ministry or children's ministry. I'm not against those, but I'm aiming at us parents. Well, today is why. But instead of me just addressing that, I thought we'd bring in a special guest, someone from the establishment. Okay, that's not fair. But I'm excited to have a friend today in the studio as we have this conversation with Dr. Jonathan Cofer, student pastor at Antioch Baptist Church in Conway, Arkansas, just down the road from the undisclosed studios. Oops, I just gave away some disclosure. Dr. Cofer has been in student ministry for the last 15 years, serving in Arkansas and in Texas. Jonathan is married to Megan and has three children, Macy, Maddie, and Jonah. Jonathan holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from Central Baptist College, a Master of Arts in Christian Education, and a Doctorate in Educational Ministry from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. During his spare time, he loves to exercise regularly and spend time with his family. Me and Jonathan have a lot in common. We both went to Central Baptist College, both went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, so double alumni having a conversation today. Jonathan, I'm excited about this conversation. Help us understand the role of parents.
In student ministry, if you remember back then,
I do remember that.
I know you
back
do.
Then.
I know you do.
So, I mean, that's probably something people don't know. We wouldn't know, but kind of your beginning, we crossed some paths.
Yeah, and back then, I was scared to death of parents. You know, it's like, man, if I'm going to do anything with parents, I'm probably just going to communicate and just share this is what we're doing. And that's probably about it. But I think what did it for me was when I went to seminary and I had a professor, his name is Richard Ross. And Dr. Ross, he had this class project that he had us do. And I'd never really thought about the term of family discipleship. And he wanted us to create curriculum and give it to families and have them do it in the home. So as I'm writing curriculum, this is like the first time that I've even seen this happen. But I'm asking people to do it. And they did. And it was awesome. By the end of it, every single family that I talked to was saying, man, this has changed a lot of how we do things as a family now. We're actually praying together. We're actually spending time in the Word together. And so that started it. That started kind of like, okay, I need to do this in my own family and in ministry. But then you just see scripture. I think we got to go back to the scripture always. And if you look through scripture, you see it through the whole Bible. The obvious, Deuteronomy 6, where there's a command to love God with everything and teach that diligently to your kids. But keep on going. Proverbs 22, train up a child the way they should go. Psalm 78, where it shows us to pass on your faith to the generation, to the next generation, and to the next generation. And it keeps going. You can look in Ephesians 6, fathers, train up the child the way they should go. Don't lead them to anger, but lead them in the ways of the Lord. Moms, Proverbs 31, you can go to that passage even, and you can see how she leads her family, leads her kids. Titus 2, with the grandmothers and the mother, investing into their children, passing on their faith. So I guess once I saw all of that, I was convinced. I'm like, this is it. That we've got to focus on parents. I think most student ministries focus on your kids, focus on the teenagers, and let's do that well. And I think a lot of student ministries may only do the communication part, but now I can't unsee it. How can I not want to equip mom and dad? I know, like, if I ask mom and dad to go disciple their kid, that may just go over their heads. You know, like, what are you doing? What do you right. ask me to do?
Right, yeah.
I've never seen that even in our own life. And I found that to be true as I talk to people. So, yeah, I think for me, that's a huge motivation to say, you know what, from now on, I'm going to equip mom and dad to do that.
So not only teach the scriptures, but teach accordingly, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so those passages weren't written to student pastors and children, they're written to parents.
Well, here's a crazy thought, Jake. Student ministry is not even in the Bible.
Yeah. The student pastor said that. I didn't say that.
I know. Now, and that's hard to say.
Now, to be fair, I mean, we work together in student ministry, and you know, I have a heart for student ministry, so it's not against that, but you're right.
Yeah.
This is directed towards parents.
Right.
So you mentioned you started doing this. How soon did you start seeing results? Sorry, I went off script there, but I'm
it's
curious.
All good. Every time we spend time equipping your parents, you see results from that. I mean, it's just when it clicks, that just changes everything. And I've seen it to where the parents will tell me, well, not only did I start doing this in the home, equipping, discipling my kids, but like my relationship with the Lord is way different than it used to be. I'm to back up that idea, one of the things that I kept receiving from parents when I was teaching them this idea of Deuteronomy 6 was, man, I just wasn't in the Word, but now I am. So it's just incredible what happens when mom and dad both are seeking the Lord and they're both going down that path of wanting to do everything to serve the Lord and to pass on their faith.
Pretty much probably the parents you've worked with, they've got a heart for it anyway. I mean, that's why they're in church. That's why they're walking with the Lord. That's why they're bringing their students to the student ministry. So it's not something they may just never thought about it.
I think that's what it is. You know, if you ask the question, have you ever been discipled? I think many parents would say no.
No.
At least not intentionally. I've never been discipled intentionally. And so this idea is almost new. Like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be doing it, but what does that mean? What does it look like?
And what I have found, you know, as I've tried to do this as a parent, so I went Southwestern like you. I have an unofficial minor in family ministry, and it was really one of the focus I wanted to do. I wanted to be in family ministry until I did my first marriage counseling session, and I decided that was not for me at all. But while I was there, I had all these lofty goals of like, okay, when I have a family, this is what it's going to look like. You know, this is what parents should do. But in reality, it's been hard to do those things. But actually what I've found is just the small things can make a big difference. Has it seemed easier when you actually bring it to parents on like what they can do to be part of that discipleship process?
Absolutely. I think we make it so much harder than it even needs to be. And I always go back to this quote from Donald Whitney, but He has a book, a little book, but it's called Family Worship. And in that book, he says, you know, a lot of dads who may be too scared or just don't want to be too vulnerable, you know, or have just never done it before, need to realize that it's okay, ask forgiveness, and start. And I just think about that a lot. And I think we do overcomplicate it. What if we just read a passage every week, talked about it, prayed over our families? It doesn't have to be crazy. There's a commitment there too, though.
Yeah. And you know a bit of my story. Right now I'm doing multi-generational ministry, and we're doing home groups that do discovery Bible study. So it's families reading the Bible together. But I've been in a situation where we've not really been doing stuff at home. Like our whole as our kids get older, the dynamic changed. It got harder, and it became a little more difficult. And we've had a hard time finding that rhythm. And so on the way here, actually, so my kids were with me and my wife, and on the way to the studio to do the work the last couple of days, we had a Bible study in the car. We just read a verse. I didn't read while I was driving. The kids read, and we just talked about it. You've said this, but I just want to make sure we hammer this out. Just how important are parents in the discipleship process?
They're the primary disciple makers. And I can't unsee that from Scripture. And when it says, love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and then it says, diligently show that when they rise up, when they go to bed, throughout the day, every chance you get, you know, to do that. And when I really learned that that's a command, we've got to be that.
And, I mean, it's enough that you walked us through those Scriptures. I mean, to say scripturally, this is what it says. Along those lines of the importance of parents, I mean, what can parents do that student pastors and ministries, pastors, churches can't do?
Yeah, I kind of think about that question, and there's a stat that I don't remember right at the moment of how much time a parent spends with their kids versus how much time that the youth pastor or the church spends with their kids. Yes. And it's like nowhere close to the same.
Yeah.
And so there's that. And just the idea that when a mom or a dad is investing in their kids, that's just different than a youth pastor. There's another quote that I wish I remember where it came from, but it's basically saying that your kids will value what you value. And I think that weight of what the parent has to say and what the parent is doing to pour into their kids is just so much more. So, yeah.
And you would agree with this, but as parents, we're discipling whether we are intentional or not, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just the value that we have with that.
That's right.
Along those lines, though, you, I've heard research, and it was actually coming from Richard Ross, about that it's not just parents who can have an impact on students, but other believing adults. Like, yes. It's important that we're connected to multi-generations.
Yes. Ross would tell you that an effective way is to have five adults plugged into that student. And in perfect world, that is mom and dad. And that would be awesome. So let's just say for that sake, you got mom and dad. You have a student pastor. You have a Sunday school teacher. You have a small group leader. Well, there's your five. And Ross would say it's not foolproof, but man, it's pretty close. It's just this idea that adult is the Christian pipeline from your heart to their heart. And whenever you're pouring into that teenager and you're saying to them, hey, you are important, you're loved, and your relationship with Jesus matters to me, that is going to go miles down the road. It's going to carry on. And I was thinking about this, too, that you know every student pastor can really only reach 5 to 6 students.
Yeah.
And so at that point, we've got to have more adults investing in them. What if their mom and dad doesn't believe in the Lord? Well, we've got to have more adults investing in those teenagers and pointing them towards Jesus. So, yeah, they're definitely vital and very needed.
Well, I was pastoring not far from here. You spent some time with our student ministry, our student pastor. And when I was there, I had gone through, I mean, this is how old I am, Jesus-focused discipleship or something.
Yes.
Like that. I totally butchered that. Barry St. Clair, I think, was the one who wrote that. And it opened me up to doing small groups. And so we began plugging in multiple adults, and I began pouring into them for them to pour into students. And then they built more relationships than I could ever do. Of course, that's getting into maybe more how, like, you know, on a student ministry level, but just the fact, like you said, of impact of the other adults. And one thing I was thinking, again, this is going off script from one of the questions I sent you, but I was thinking on the way here, like, how important a role we have as parents. But even as parents, we may not get to be the one that really God uses to bring our children along. So it may be a student pastor, maybe another adult, it may be a college ministry leader or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a coach, you know, whatever it is. But how can a parent work with a student pastor or another disciple maker and really work in tandem? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if you've worked with that much, but I'm sure as you're working with parents, you've had the chance to experience some of that.
I think just coming from a student pastor's point of view, it's important that you let the parent know that you're willing to do that. And not all parents are going to be there for that. A lot of parents may have just never seen it and realized that they could work hand in hand with the youth pastor and the church to be equipped. And some parents may not even realize they need it. But I think the more that you voice that as a church, it's going to be more evident, and parents are going to be more willing to work alongside of you. And you can do all kinds of things, you know, with helping them know this is what I'm teaching, this is what we're doing, because it's, since it's your job as primary disciple maker, you need to know what's happening in your child's spiritual life.
I mean, it's simple as that, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you can have conversations, leaving church, leaving, you know, youth group night or whatever it is, you can have those conversations with that. I know you equip parents. I see you promoting parent meetings and those things. We've got parents who are intentional listening. I know if you're listening or watching, you already are involved and you're intentional in this. But what are some steps that you'd recommend for parents?
Yes. Well, the first thing is make sure that your relationship with the Lord is where it needs to be. Focus on what you need to do to love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, and mind. That's the first part of Deuteronomy 6, is love God. And again, they will value what you value. So if you don't value church a lot, well, they won't either. If you don't value reading the Word, there's a good chance that they may not either. So I would say first, start with just being faithful to God. Be faithful to the Lord as a husband and wife, and just making sure you're loving God with all of your heart. And another thing is just talk about the Lord often with your families. You know, just talk, say the name of Jesus. That was one of the things that I like to challenge parents with. It was like, how often do you talk about Jesus in your home with one another? What would happen if you did that? Or when was the last time that you pulled your son or daughter to the side and just prayed with them? Or when was the last time that you just said, hey, you know what? This is some things going on in my life. Would you pray for me? And have your child pray over you. Man, there's just some powerful stuff to think through. So there's a couple of things.
All those were simple.
Yeah, and it's not hard.
Like, I mean, I've experienced how simple it is. I've been trying to get that across, like, just start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the one you just said, have them pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find the vulnerability of parents in their walk with the Lord impacts this as well?
I know for me, it can be very hard. Because what if you had a very vulnerable moment, and man, your kid just frustrated you so bad, and you may have yelled at him, and you've lost all of, you know, any type of respect in that moment. But what if you were to come back and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. And that takes a lot for a parent to do, but that's going to mean a lot to your kids too. And then just letting them know you're a person, you're real. You know?
So us parents don't have to have it all together
right
to do this.
That's it.
We can stumble along the way.
That's
through
it.
This.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's this idea of sanctification. As you're growing in your faith throughout the rest of your life, you're not going to be perfect, but you're growing. You don't remain the same.
I say that because I've found that important with my own kids. really apologizing has been one of the best things. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but to be able to say, hey, your dad's a pastor. He's trying to do a podcast and help other parents and all this stuff, and I struggle. I don't get it right, and I want to get it right. Mm-hmm. I'm longing to get it right and being open about that because our kids are going to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you work with parents of teenagers for the most part. It seems like it would be harder to start this with teenagers than if you were starting this young with younger children.
Right.
So if somebody's listening that's got younger children, what would you encourage them to do from the get-go?
Well, I mean, you could literally start from the time they were born praying over your child, reading God's word out loud to your child, even as a baby. I say start that. And then on into, you know, when they're 2 or 3 years old and they don't want to sit there and be still, I think it'd still be good to sit together as a family. When they get to be 4 or 5, you're going to see opportunities to start teaching them some more things and going over the scripture. So I don't think just because, you know, makes a little bit more sense with teenagers, oh, man, that's going to be impossible as a child. But I think it's very doable.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot, get off script. You've got younger children. How have you been able to take some of this into your own home?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to let you leave without throwing this on you.
Yeah. So number one, again, I'll be the first to say that I'm not the best, right? Because one of the things lately that I've been trying to learn is to have to be so intentional with my time. Because here's what happens when you're not, and this has happened in my life. Like this past year, I had 2 kids playing sports, different sports, going on at the same time, and which means practices, it means games. My oldest child's involved with a lot of other things that are just completely different. And before I knew it, oh, man, you know, where has time gone? So my wife and I had talked, and I think she's more spiritual than me. You know, tell her I said that. But anyway.
I'm texting her now.
Yeah, I know. Well, she just says, how about this? Let's just put it in the calendar. Let's even go that far to say we're going to put it in the calendar and we're going to do
this. The wisdom of our wives, right?
Yeah. And so Tuesday nights, that's what we have in our calendar. And, you know, there are times that it might not happen because I'm at camp or I'm doing something else. And that's okay. You know, there's freedom, but try to be intentional and consistent.
Put it on the calendar. That may be one of the biggest takeaways from here. And I'll be honest, it's been my wife typically that gets us on track.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, the dreamer of how I'd like it to be, and she seems to get us on track. And so being honest about that, it's a fight.
Yeah.
And even once you get in a groove, you've probably been in a groove and then something throws you off and then it's hard to get back into that.
And I think throughout your whole life, you're going to go through stages and things are going to change and you're going to have to continue being faithful and continue being intentional.
So you've been focusing towards parents for quite a while now in your student ministry. One of the things when I look back in student ministry, it breaks my heart, is how many students left the faith.
Mm.
Do you feel like taking from when you weren't focused on parents to when you were, that you're finding that students are sticking with the faith, continuing on at a greater rate?
I would say currently, yeah. It's allowed me to have more intentional conversations with families. The more families are willing to be vulnerable in that area of just saying, this is what's happening, what's going on. But yeah, I would say so. I mean, no hard facts to prove it, but at least when I think about it, it seems to be.
The stats say it does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think a lot of it is just what you know, as you're seeing that, it's no, and I think you're saying this, it doesn't, if we do these certain things, it doesn't, it's not a formula that's a science that's going to turn out, okay, you do X plus Y, that equals, I don't know algebra, so I don't know why I'm saying that, but if you do these things, it equals something.
Right.
What kind of encouragement would you give parents? Like I said, I know some, those listening, watching are intentional. I know that they, you know, are wanting to continue on. How would you encourage them in closing?
Don't stop. And another thing I would say is you matter. You're important. And what you do in your home matters. So, yeah, don't quit. And just be encouraged to continue. And, man, your kids are going to see that. And what they see you do, and it goes so far. I still think back to my time whenever I was growing up, and I remember waking up, seeing my dad read the word, yeah. and see my mom do the same. And those are some things that'll be concrete in my mind forever. So, yeah, continue being faithful. They'll see it.
And let's drop the mic on that one. I think that's a great way to end, reminding us how important we are. Jonathan, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Tell us how we can best follow you, because I know some hearing you, they're like, man, I want to learn more. I want to see more of what he's doing. What's the best way to keep up with you?
I mean, Facebook's a good way. Facebook, Instagram, be a great way.
Okay, we'll put that links in the notes. And Jonathan, again, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Parents, we matter. We're important. We play a pivotal role in the discipleship of our children. And I know you know that. That's why you're tuning in. But I hope you've been encouraged in that. I hope if you're new to Stanford Parents, you see this is why we're aiming towards us parents. Now, if you're new to this idea of us being disciple makers in our home, then I encourage you to go back an episode or two and check out as we talk about discipleship not being as hard as we make it. It's a very helpful episode. I greatly enjoyed the conversation today I had with Dr. Jonathan Cofer. Incredible conversation from somebody deep in student ministry, talking about still the important role that we have as parents. Parents, don't take it lightly. We matter. We have an important role in the process. Again, thank you for checking out Stand Firm Parents. I hope that you've already subscribed. If you hadn't, please subscribe wherever you're checking this out at. You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.